Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Looking at things from God's perspective instead of our perspective.
And it's important to do that because you
necessarily have to get in a situation where you can look at things from God's perspective. And when you look at things from God's perspective, start doing things according to it. And that's what's so awesome about God is He knows.
He understands what we stand in need of. He understands what we are going through. And so you can approach God like that. You can approach Him and you can be real with Him. So He says, I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the holy. And in verse 4, it says, who has ascended unto the heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in its fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? Basically, he said, you know, really we shouldn't, you know, think we're all that because we have no idea of how to ascend to heaven. How can we hold wind in a fist? How can we bound waters in a garment? How can we establish the ends of the earth? You know, and what is his name? What is his son's name? So we have to approach it as a human. We are finite, and God is infinite. And so, when we take that approach, that humbles us. Anyone, I see there's another caller on the line. Anyone want to comment on verses 1-4?
Here, I just came in, but phone's been acting crazy. He's trying to start the call, and he's trying to update. So, definitely agree with what you've been saying, though. Definitely.
The interesting thing about this is when you go to verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. So it's like, you know, put your trust in God. You know, if we are men, we say we're men of God, we have to put our trust in God. It's not just a blind trust, but the writer in the beginning of verse 5, he says, every word of God is true. And so if every word of God is true, which is the fact, then it will help us in our faith walk to put our trust in God. We might not understand it all, like the beginning of first 4 verses say, We might not understand it all, but if we know that God is right and we do it God's way, then we can trust Him. And that's sometimes your faith walk, you know, is clouded by what you see or what you feel or what your history or subject is. But if you go in with understanding that every word of God is pure and He's a shield to them that put their trust in Him. In other words, God is a shield. What is a shield? A shield is something that will protect you, and you know, He's our protection. So a lot of times we feel vulnerable, and so we say certain things, we do certain things. A lot of times we feel vulnerable in situations where we might be in a group of people and everybody's cussing and everybody's saying, you know, weird stuff, weird jokes. But if we trust in God's word, God would be our shield from those people that would ridicule us or make us feel uncomfortable if we're doing it His way. And, you know, a lot of times then you find yourself with a girl, with a woman, with, you know, at school or at work in a situation where you need to be shielded because your emotions or your feelings can get hurt. But if you do it God's way and say, hey, I'm putting this in God's hand, I'm not going to act this way, I'm not going to say this way, say something like this, What will happen is God will begin to shield you from those insecurities or those things that you feel you're vulnerable to. And so in verse 6, it says, in verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So, again, when we say every word of God is pure, we have to not take his word out of context. Sometimes you find people that will say they know God and they're trusting God, but they're just using God for what they want instead of doing his will. And so what they'll do is they'll take and use his word out of context to try to manipulate or control someone or something. And that's a dangerous thing, because now you're not using the word of God for what its pure form is. And so we have to be careful not to say or use his word out of context, because you can hurt someone or ultimately end up hurting yourself. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree. Definitely comes to a point of where, like how it put it, that it'll prove them a liar. And a lot of times nowadays, especially in our generation, that a lot of the time people, and even we'll say even way back when, a lot of people will take God's word out of context to use it to their advantage, and it proves a point of, you know, us as humans will take something, and we'll take something good and mess it up for our own, purpose. You know, his purpose for his word was to try and leave something for us to have, so that we know what the right from wrong, that we know what on record was left for us to do, and that his word is what it is, and it definitely proves, like it says, you know, it'll make them a liar, and it'll prove them a liar too. So even if they try and, you know, doctor it up and try and make it sound all right, at the end of the day, when it goes out, you know, it's not really going to come back with anything. It's not going to have any substance. It's not going to work out for them. And it's definitely true. It happens a lot of the time. So that's my take on those verses right there.
All right, all right. The next two verses, this is Agar talking about what he wants from God. And so in verse 7 it says, two things have I required of thee, deny them me not. He's saying, I'm asking God to help me with these two things. And verse 8 says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, this is one of the things that might be pulling on this in our sermon today, church. Two things he's saying. He's saying, if as a man, we can just find this balance with God. And it says, you know, in that verse, it remove far from me vanity and lies. Don't want anything vanity that's not, you know, vain or something I shouldn't be chasing after. It don't mean anything. You know, a lot of times you get caught up with drama, arguments, discussions, relationships, and vanity. It doesn't mean anything. You're not going to profit. You know, help me not to get into a situation where I'm in a vanity situation, where I'm talking to somebody, I'm being with somebody, I'm doing something that doesn't mean anything, that's not benefiting me, that's not benefiting the situation I am. A lot of times people get in conversations, I just stay out of the conversation. A lot of people are talking a lot of different stuff, and you know, I don't even get involved. I just cut to the chase and say, okay, you know, you can say all this, but you're not saying anything, you're not doing anything. You know, let's get to the full facts of the matter and deal with that, because you know what you're saying is vanity. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of words. You know, how are we going to do this? You know, you can talk this, that, the other, and the third, but how are we going to do it? The fact is we're here. You know, let's deal with this. And then lies, you know. Sometimes people try to come at you with lies. They try to come at you with stories and sad songs. But, you know, if you deal with the truth, you stay out of a lot of drama, then you're going to be okay. So this is what Agar is asking. He said, move far from me vanity alive. And then it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. In other words, don't make me too rich and don't make me too poor. And he said, just keep me, feed me with food that's convenient for me. In other words, give me what I need. Help me to not get too high. Help me not to get too low. And that is a place where people find peace, where you're not struggling and you're not too, because when you struggle too much, it can be difficult. And if you're too rich, it'll be too easy. And so either way, it gives you opportunity to question God if you're too poor, or forget about God if you're too rich. So give me food that is convenient for me, because God knows us. God knows how much money we can handle. God knows how much poverty we can handle. And so basically he's asking them, hey, give me what I need, and help me to be satisfied with what you give me. And verse 9, he goes on to explain it. Says, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So what do you think about that?
Oh, definitely agree. I think a lot of the time in our generation, you know, most of the time it's all about the money. It's all about trying to get the fame, trying to make it. And I think that once you get that, you lose sight of, you know, the goal. You lose sight of God. And right there, it just proves the point of trying to be humble. It takes a lot to be humble, and definitely before God. And just saying that, I mean, pretty much sums it up, you know. It's like, after a certain point, after you've gotten everything, you know, after you start doing it on your, not doing it on your own, but you start to think that you did it on your own, you start taking the fame, you start taking everything, and, you know, you start thinking that you did it, not God. So, what happened here, he definitely was like, you know, just give me enough. I'm making sure I ain't doing it on my own, you know, just trying to make sure that, you know, you provide for me, and try to remember that everything that's going on. And that's pretty much what this verse is saying, you know. Like, basically like you were saying, you know, don't give me too much, don't give me too little. Right in the middle is where I need to be at. I'm good here.
Yeah, trying to find that balance is important, because one way or the other, it really keeps you out of balance. So when you can, and I think that's maturity, when you can say, hey, you know, I might not have it all, but I'm not without anything. It's sort of like we were talking about the week, find that glass half full instead of half empty. So I can either look at my situation as half empty, or I can look at it as half full and say, okay, I'm good. I might not be topped off, but I'm not at the bottom. And you know, when you can find that place and be okay with that, and that's the thing with men, we have to learn how to be okay with who we are. We can't be going out there trying to be like somebody else and be disappointed because we're not somebody else. We have to find our niche, find out what we do well, and be okay with it. And I tell people, I'm okay with who I am. I don't have to be like you. I don't have to have what you have. I'm okay with what God has for me, and you know that's fine. I'm not gonna stress. I'm not gonna be envious. I'm not gonna be trying to kill myself to be who you are, what you have. That's not for me. And, you know, a lot of times you can hurt yourself or injure yourself trying to be like somebody else, and in the end you'll never get there. But you're never satisfied. So you have to be okay with who you are. Do the things God wants you to do. And God will bless you where you are. He'll bless you over and abundantly. Because a lot of times people don't know what you had to go to get to where you are. And then you don't know what another person has to go to get to where they are. And, you know, it's the same thing in ministry. I tell people that God gives gifts unto people. And God gives them the anointing to be able to handle those gifts. And so don't try to go and ask for, you know, somebody look, oh, I like being a preacher or a pastor or a musician or whatever. Because, you know, if that's not your gift or that's not your anointing, then what will happen is it'll be hard for you to do, and you'll irritate everybody around you. And that, in other words, you might be in a situation where you're not supposed to be. And so what happens is then you don't do it right, you don't have the right attitude, you don't enjoy doing it. I see that with a lot of ministers, a lot of pastors. They wanted to be a pastor. They wanted to be a minister. But, you know, that wasn't the gift that God called them. And so they get into it, and then they say, this is a lot harder. It takes more time. This is a that this is not what I really wanted, and somehow they're struggling, and they're stuck in a place that they shouldn't be, and they really need to get out. But they need to be content with what the gift God gave for them. The same thing with people that in music ministry, as far as on choirs and praise teams and playing instruments. You know, they want to be like someone they heard on the radio or on the TV or whatever. And, you know, they don't have the right attitude. They don't have the right practice, the right focus. It's not their anointing. And so what they do is they end up getting in the way and causing friction in that ministry. So you have to be happy with the gift he gave you. He gave you the gift of service and help. Go back in the back and serve and help. You don't have to be out front teaching or preaching or leading worship. You have to be okay with what you have. Not just what, okay, I want this, and not have the gifting or the anointing to go along with. Brother Anthony?
Well, definitely tailgating off of what you were talking about there in these verses. I believe that, you know, with the purpose that God has for everybody, everybody's place, that, you know, whatever happens, it was meant to happen. And definitely if it's in his will, it's definitely not going to, it's not going to pass you. And crazy thing is that we have billions of people around the world, and God knows each and every individual one personally. And definitely on a personal level of understanding that, like, person told me this week, you know, whatever happens to you, that's for you, that God has for you, it's not going to miss you. So whichever way you try and get around it, try and miss it, or per se, like you said, you know, going into ministry, if you're trying to run from it, it's definitely going to happen. You can't run from God. So we know that with Noah. We know that with many of people that try and run from God and get God's will for them and try and say no, but eventually it happens. But I mean, now, later, it definitely, you definitely can't run from it. I mean, it happens to many people. Many people think that, you know, it's not for me, or, you know, God, it's not the time. And that may be true at that time, but later on down the line, he's definitely going to do something. So that's what I think right there. It's more, especially in these verses right here, you know, it's more of a personal thing between them and God.
All right. Good word. We're going to leave it off right there. We're going to wrap it up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to get together around your word. We thank you for this Proverbs 30. It's been a blessing to us. We pray that we will be able to continue to study and apply this word to our lives until we meet again. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's going to do it for the first word. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a good worship.